Our passage of Scripture this morning, back in the Gospel of John, is John 19, and I'll read verses 7 through 15. John 19, verses 7 through 15. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, that he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." John 19, 7 through 15. Our Lord Jesus, when he starts the last portion of his famous Sermon on the Mount, states these famous and often misapplied words. He says, "Judge not that you be not judged," Matthew 7, verse 1. These verses are not telling us not to make any kind of judgments, not to judge at all, but they are a great warning, because we tend to misjudge both people and things. And misjudging was certainly what the Jewish leaders did when they judged Jesus. It's interesting. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, writes that people can't say that Jesus is just a good person, because Jesus never claimed to be just a good person. Because he claimed to be the Son of God, you have to either accept him as Lord, you have to accept him as who he says he is, or you'd have to say he's a liar or a lunatic. Because Jesus claimed to be God's Son. And so that was the position they were in. And obviously they're judging him as not the Son of God. And this is my first point. They judged him a blasphemer as they misjudged him, not God's Son. Verse 7, John 19, verse 7, says, "The Jews answered him," meaning they're answering Pilate, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Now, he didn't make himself the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And yet they're trying to say he was claiming to be something that he was not. Note, this was their enduring problem with Jesus. Way back in chapter 5, they were judging Jesus for this very reason. John 5, verse 8 says, "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. Well, Jesus is equal to God according to the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how the Gospel of John begins. And they continued judging him. In this book of John, we read about additional miracles, how he fed the 5,000, how he healed the man born blind. And in that same chapter, when he heals the man born blind, in verse 33, it says, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. They continue this much misjudging, despite the great miracle of raising Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, something that many people, a great crowd, watched him raise Lazarus. A great crowd had seen Lazarus buried. They knew he was dead, and Jesus rose him from the dead. Now about Jesus claiming, according to them, not actually being God's Son, as he was and he is. A, they don't tell Pilate. They don't tell him this, at least not immediately. They told him they thought he'd be most likely, what they thought that would be accepted by Pilate as an accusation. He's a king. He's going to try to go against Caesar. And when Pilate saw meek and mild Jesus, he didn't exactly see him as a threat. And so this fails as far as they're concerned, at least at first, because he's not going with that. And when that fails, B, they share their real motivation. They count Jesus a blasphemer. And according to their law, as they say, according to our law, he is to be put to death. And that is true. Leviticus 24:16 says, and whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. The stranger as well as him who is born in the land, when he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. That's what the scripture said in the Old Testament. Now, Jesus wasn't blaspheming the name of the Lord because he is God. He was just claiming to be who he is. And they should have recognized that. The problem with this is they are wrong. They had evidence of his sonship. As I've already said, he performed miracles. In John 5, this man had been 38 years lame and he healed him. And he mentions in John 5 that he would show them greater works, meaning greater miracles than this. And he did. And he says that you may marvel. And they did marvel. They saw these miracles. They had this evidence. I mean, and he's claiming to be the Son of God and he's doing more miracles than Moses did. He's doing more miracles than they had certainly seen, because there was no Moses doing miracles among them. John the Baptist didn't do any miracles. And yet, despite this, these men were not denying Jesus did a miracle or miracles. They acknowledged the miracles as facts, and yet they don't acknowledge that the miracles matter. When Jesus healed the man who was lame, he did it on the Sabbath, and he broke the Sabbath, so they figured he was wrong. They were missing Jesus' life-giving power because they counted death to be power, and they counted death as a power because of their sin. In John 5 again, John 5:21, it says, and Jesus is speaking, he says, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Killing was their answer. It was their solution. As it says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 16:25 says the same exact words. Later, Jesus would raise Lazarus from the dead, and their answer to this miracle was the same. It's interesting, John 12:9-11, it says, now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not only for Jesus' sake, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. They knew Lazarus was raised. Oh, that's a terrible thing, they thought. People, more and more people are going to believe in Jesus. They knew it was likely that people would believe because he rose this man from the dead. Many have the power to kill. Jesus Christ, God's Son, had the power to give life. But they never mention these miracles to Pilate. They just say he claimed to be God's Son. He made himself God's Son. They don't talk about the miracles. As I said before, in John 5, he healed the man who was infirm for 38 years. He did this on the Sabbath. Jesus' judges missed the merciful miracle, and they count him a Sabbath breaker. If you look at that John 5:9, John 5:16, all through the book of John chapter 5, they seem to not even see or notice the miracle. Even though they talk about the miracle, they don't give Jesus any credit for it. Their ways were not God's ways. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And part of that height was not just the miracles, but the compassion Jesus had. Because that same passage, if you go 2 verses earlier, says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. On Wednesday, we've been going through Genesis. And it's interesting because we see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I think all the people in that Wednesday Bible study would say, hey, was Abraham a sinner? Was Jacob a sinner? Was Isaac a sinner? All of these were sinners and they needed God's great grace. And here Jesus was offering his grace to these people. And there were some that thought themselves not sinners. They did not need God's mercy. They thought of themselves as perfect and sinless. And they tell Pilate that Jesus made himself the Son of God. And this scares Pilate. But they should have been scared. They should have been fearful what they were doing. Here's a man who's been performing miracles. They've seen these miracles. They have been fighting with him for the longest time. And now they want him dead. They should have been scared. Point number two, though, that's God stuff. As soon as they mention God, and he makes himself the Son of God, this stuff frightens Pilate, but not enough. Verses 8 through 12 are written like this. It says, therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. John 19:8-12a. The Jews talk of Jesus making himself God or God's son. And Pilate's fear means maybe he thinks he is. He thinks, so. Oh, this is something, I don't want to deal with this guy. He had a warning from his own wife. In Matthew 27:19, we read, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him. He had that warning. Don't have anything to do with this man. Definitely don't judge him. Because I've had this dream, and it's a terrible dream, and you better let him go. Make sure you don't do anything wrong. And then he's hearing, he made himself the Son of God. And maybe Pilate had heard of some of the miracles. Maybe he did know something of that, at least from hearsay. He questions Jesus. He says, where are you from? Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and to release you? And here's Jesus. He's just quiet. Jesus isn't answering, where are you from? He's not answering these questions. Jesus' final answer or non-answer seems to make Pilate more determined to release Jesus. He's ready to let him go. And Scripture tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The good understanding of all those who do his commandments, his praise endures forever, Psalm 111:10, and many other passages of Scripture talk about the fear of the Lord. And Pilate seems to have at least a little bit of that fear of the Lord, because he's afraid. He's worried that he's going to crucify somebody he shouldn't. Pilate seems to have, as I said, the beginning of wisdom. That wisdom bringing fear, but not enough. He had more fear of Caesar. When we read the next verses, the rest of 12, it says, and then to 14. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. He wanted to let him go. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, behold your king. Pilate's judgment about, or you could say evaluation of Jesus, was he was fearful, he was scared, maybe he's the Son of God, but he's not as fearful as Caesar. Just the threat, you know, that the Jews might tell Caesar that this man let this threatening king get away, who was trying to get your kingdom, Caesar, just the threat of them being tattletales on him to Caesar. He goes right down and he sits down in that judgment seat. He's immediately ready to judge Jesus. Even though he had some fear of Jesus, not so much as he had fear of Caesar. Truly fearing God means not fearing man. In Luke 12:4-5, Jesus says as much when he says, and I said to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. What's the application here? Well, the application is God will test our faith. He may put us in life and death circumstances. He did this to Peter, and Peter, you could say he failed at this point, but God restored him. I have told you before about the Sunday night Halloween gag some teenagers played on a church. There was a Sunday evening service that happened to be on the same day as Halloween, and some teenagers, or one, and with friends, he dressed up as the devil, and his other friends dressed up as demons, and just as a joke, they ran into this Sunday evening service, and they started acting like devils, and when they did this, the people were scared. And when this happened, one of the ladies stood up, and she says, "I've been going to this church for 35 years, and I've been on your side," to the devil. She admitted who she was. She failed the test. She was in a church, and some kids dressed up as the devil and demons scared her to the point that she admitted she was not wheat, but she was a tare. She was one of those who was not really a Christian. And we will be tested, I imagine, worse than that. There should be times in our lives where, whether we really believe Jesus is the Son of God, or what He is, comes in front of us. When we think of this, we should be very serious about our walk with God. Point number three. The truth about the Jews, they feared, honored, and respected Caesar too, just like Pilate. They despised God. They judged God in Christ worthy of death. 19:14b and 15 says, "And he said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.' But they cried out, 'Away with him! Away with him, crucify him.' Pilate said to them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priest answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.'" Now Caesar was their dreaded enemy. They had no like for him at all, but he was a powerful enemy. His soldiers were the ones who just beat Jesus up. And yet they both hated Caesar, and yet they respected him for their power. And now they're saying, Pilate is saying, "Behold your king." And at that point, Jesus was truly, truly their king. He wore that crown of thorns that they deserved. He was receiving the punishment that they deserved. He was the king who was saving them, or he saves us. And yet they would not recognize him. They say, "We have no king but Caesar." Just as that lady stood up, and I'm not sure if that's a true story or something somebody made up, and said, "I'm with you, Satan." They know less we're doing that here. "We have no king but Caesar." They were saying they agreed with their enemy. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 4, prophesied this. It says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Notice what Isaiah says. He says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm," meaning the power of God, "who has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Jesus is the true power of God. He is their strength. He is their hope. He is their salvation. But they were seeing power not in Jesus and not in his death on the cross. They saw power in Caesar. And they couldn't see anything else. Jesus had and has a moral and spiritual beauty, the kind that we don't see unless we are born again. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a totally different kind of kingdom. And unless a person is born again, he cannot see it. And these people were not seeing it. They saw Caesar as the power. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16, and this relatively the same thing is said. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, Pilate was a natural man. He saw a lot where it seems he's almost to the point where he would have stood up for Jesus. But comparing Jesus's whatever power he might have had as God's son to Caesar, who many Romans thought of as God, or a God, he can't see Jesus as somebody that he would stand up for. We cannot rightly see or judge or evaluate Jesus unless we're born again. Unless God's Spirit opens our eyes, and then we see his death on the cross was for our salvation. His death on the cross was the power of God to save us. Even when we're born again, we should pray for improved vision for the things of God and Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1, we see Paul doing this. Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 19. This was his prayer for the church in Ephesus, which was a strong church. They had had John as their pastor. They had Timothy as their pastor. And Paul himself was their pastor for a while. And in these verses, he says, therefore, I also, after I've heard of your faith, meaning they were people who did believe in the Lord Jesus and in your love for the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That's talking about the power of God's Spirit, the power of Christ. The strength of any true church is not in money or advertising or even a great preacher, but the strength is in what God does, the moving that his Spirit can move in our hearts, the way he changes them. And helps us. This is the only way of salvation. Unless we are born again, we won't see the kingdom of God. We see these Jews. Many of them were instructed in God's word and his law. And yet they were far, far from Christ. They had sinned and sinned and sinned in such ways that now they are, you could say they were blind. And here we see Pilate, a Roman governor. He didn't have the opportunities that these Jewish leaders did. He only maybe saw Jesus this one time. He did not, as far as we know, he did not see a miracle. He did have the benefit of his wife's dream, and he had Jesus right in front of him speaking to him. And it seems he had some fear of the Lord. But it seems he falls short. Unless there's some repentance we know of that's not written in Scripture, that we don't know of, I mean. Pilate was lost as well. Jesus says to him, your punishment in hell is not going to be as bad as these Jews who brought me to you. And from other things that Jesus said, that's probably the case. His punishment in hell, because he did not know, he didn't have the opportunity. He tried to defend Jesus for a short time. His punishment in hell was probably not as great. He's in a less hot part? I don't know. They are in a horrible part. We should, though, aim to know Jesus well enough and be strong enough that we're in heaven. We don't want to be in the hell part. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that this passage shows he is judged. But as he's judged, he also reminds us all that the only power that allowed him to go through these things ultimately was you. And you let him suffer because he was suffering for us. He was dying for our sins, that we might have salvation, that we might be his people, that we might be more drawn to you as you show your mercy, and that your son came into this world, a world that hated him, a world that crucified him. But when he hangs on that cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Father, we see him not yet on the cross, as we study today, but we see him judged and misjudged by the people that should have known him best. He's misjudged. And Father, we see in that there's a tendency of human beings to misjudge, to not judge righteously, and not to be merciful. And we see that even in these people who supposedly were your people, but they were far from you. And so, Father, we pray that we would not be like them, and that we would not even be like Pilate, who had some fear of the Lord, but not enough. We pray that you'd give us that fear that results in salvation, that trust in Christ that is true and real. And so, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.